From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Ancient Civilizations. Fresh back from Salt Lake City, where we had our live event Saturday. Went great. What a wonderful city. And Coast to Coast listeners, creme de la creme. Fantastic. Our next one, Scottsdale, Arizona. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on in the program. Well, we've got, looks like, a type of Unabomber in Texas. A teenager was killed and at least two women seriously hurt after a pair of explosions rocked homes in Austin on Monday, just 2 weeks after a separate blast, which authorities said is believed to be linked to both of Monday's incidents. Austin police say they received a call about the first explosion in a neighborhood on the northeast side of the city after a 17-year-old resident found a package at the front step, brought it inside, opened it, where it exploded. Something very serious going on there. A chilling Instagram video taken by one of the victims of that East River helicopter crash this weekend captures the final events before the chopper plunged into the New York City waterway, killing five of the six people. The only survivor was the pilot. Some of the dead are from Dallas, and most of them from those regions. Very sad story there. At least 50 people killed when a Bangladeshi passenger plane crashed and burst into flames Monday in Nepal. 50 people died when the plane swerved off the runway as it was landing in Nepal's capital. Tim McGraw, the singer, collapsed on stage Sunday night during a performance in Dublin, Ireland. McGraw had reportedly just finished singing his number one hit, Humble and Kind, when he dropped to his knees, then sat down. McGraw's wife, Faith Hill, returned to address the crowd about her husband's condition and said it was her decision to stop his performance, saying that he has been super dehydrated. Legendary fashion designer Givenchy is dead at the age of 91 after inventing the little black dress and dressing icons, including Audrey Hepburn, Grace Kelly, and Jackie Kennedy. Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon, once said, Mars is there waiting to be reached, and if Elon Musk has his way, he'll be the one to reach it, even if it's likely to be a dangerous journey that could affect human life. Speaking at a South by Southwest festival in Austin, Texas, the SpaceX and Tesla CEO said he envisioned going to Mars in a spacecraft next year, though he cautioned early trips could end in death. Let's check in with the space historian Robert Zimmerman to get his reaction to this story. Don't you think that's a little soon, Robert?
Well, George, we should clarify. He didn't say he was going to Mars next year. He said that the first test flights of some prototype of his big Falcon rocket will be flying next year, and these will be short flights. That rocket is supposed to be significantly more powerful than the Falcon Heavy and cheaper to operate. He also admitted humorously that he tends to set timelines that are not very realistic. The thing about Elon Musk is he says he'll do things maybe sooner than he will, but his company always achieves what
right. They always get it done eventually.
Eventually, and so you know, right now his company flies the most powerful rocket in the world, the Falcon Heavy. It's in the same class as the Saturn V, the shuttle, and Russia's Energia, none of which exist anymore. It took about 7 years to build and $500 million. NASA's been trying to build something comparable now for about 15 years, and they're still about 5 years away from the first manned launch, and they've spent about $50 billion doing it. So Elon Musk is not someone to be taken lightly, and he's really going to open up the solar system to human exploration. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
Robert's website, behindtheblack.com, he's got some great information there for you. Boy, newly released video of a mysterious object streaking over the Atlantic Ocean shows the Pentagon needs to take UFOs seriously. According to a researcher, the sensational two-minute clip captured by a camera aboard a U.S. Navy F-18 jet flying at 25,000 feet wowed military personnel. We've got that story in our highlight reel for you at coasttocoastam.com. It is incredible. What else is going on in the skies? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates, for his weekly report. Stephen, what's going on?
Well, George, so many wonderful things, just as you were talking about so much in detail about the events going on with Elon Musk. The fastest car in the universe. How about an update? The Tesla Roadster. Right now, as we speak, George, here on Coast to Coast AM, some 6.2 million miles away from the Earth, still moving on to the orbit of Mars. And describing a little bit more detail what Elon Musk was talking about, this big Falcon rocket, some 348 feet tall with 11 million pounds of thrust, this will be powered by some new technology called Raptor engines, powered by liquid methane and liquid oxygen. 11 million pounds of thrust is nothing to take lightly, part of this interplanetary transport system. George, tonight I was outside in the skies of Phoenix, and just like a lot of listeners, they can see this. That's the Tiangong 1, and we talked about that in previous shows, but here's the latest on that. Space scientists say that sometime, and this could be, the window's getting tight now, maybe April 3rd or April 4th, this spacecraft, about the size of a fairly large SUV, weighing 8,500 pounds, some material, maybe upwards of 200-pound chunks, could indeed hit the Earth. That's not a new revelation. But some space scientists say, and I'm kind of skeptical of this, that some of these pieces may land in southern Michigan. This is the place where the meteorite fell, and that would be kind of strange, but don't get scared yet, folks. Nothing exact on that. It's 149 miles above the Earth, George, and slowly coming down. But in the live skies, we wrap it up. Folks, take advantage. George, take a look into the west after sunset. Venus and the planet Mercury, beautiful. Mercury is at its best on the 15th. You can't miss it. It's easy to see. Just look in the west. The moon moves on to new phase, and that gives us an opportunity to see some of the amazing sky objects, the dark skies that we hope for and yearn for. Email me at drsky@cox.net, and simply this, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. And excited to be with you, George, in about 40 days in Scottsdale.
Well, that's going to be exciting. I'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the program. Thanks, Stephen. I got to tell you, this is one horrible, horrible story I'm about to give you, but you got to hear it. A mother of two reportedly is suing a hospital in England after doctors didn't realize she was suffering from a condition resulting in multiple limb amputations, which she is now fighting for her life. Magdalena Malik, 31 years old, had both of her legs amputated after contracting sepsis, also had her right arm amputated, and fingers on her left hand amputated as well, because doctors just misdiagnosed her. Wow. Well, up next, here's a doctor who doesn't do that. Dr. Joel Wallach joins us from CriticalHealthNews.com, our sponsors and partners, CriticalHealthNews.com. And here's that toll-free number again where there are people standing by to assist you, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And if you get a moment, get up to their website, CriticalHealthNews.com. Back with Dr. Joel Wallach in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you here on the Midwest, where I hope it starts to warm up a little bit. We've got for you our partner and sponsor, Dr. Joel Wallach from CriticalHealthNews.com. He is here for the next hour and a half. We will take phone calls early. We always do, because the lines are always jammed. So if you have a problem or a situation and you need Doc's help and advice, that's what he's here for. He has researched and resulted in the publication of more than 70 peer-reviewed and refereed journal articles. He is one heck of a guy, veterinarian by trade, a doctor of veterinary medicine, but he's also a naturopathic doctor as well. Welcome back to Coast, Dr. Joel Wallach. Joel, welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you so much, George. I always appreciate your hospitality. You have such wonderful listeners, and it's always a great time to be with you.
I'm thinking of you, Doc, because the St. Louis Zoo just bought 400 acres of land up in North County, north of St. Louis, and I don't know what they're going to do with it in terms of expansion.
A wild animal park coming.
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this is where you can drive through. I'm sure they'll make it a drive-through thing, and they'll have the larger animals and herds of rhino and elephant and giraffe and large herds of antelope like you would see in the African plains. So I'm thinking that's really great.
Joel, what a horrible story that I had on before you came on, that poor 31-year-old woman in England who was misdiagnosed by doctors, ended up with sepsis, and he had her two legs amputated, her right arm, fingers of her left hand. Horrible.
Well, unfortunately, this is not a rare event. In America, Johns Hopkins, very famous medical school from Baltimore, Maryland, in 2015, came out with a study, said each year in America, in hospitals alone, medical doctors kill, that's the word they use, kill 251,000 Americans from misdiagnosis, simple mistakes. And it doesn't say how many are injured, how many millions are injured, but 251,000 are killed each year. So every 4 years, they kill a million people. There's a lot of nice cities that have populations of a million people, so they wipe out a city every 4 years. They don't get an OSHA ticket. Nothing happens. What would happen if North Korea were to kill 251,000 Americans?
War.
It'd be war.
Yeah.
It would be war. I mean, both sides, right and left, it would be vocal screaming at the top of everybody's lungs. I mean, we went to war for 3,000 people who were killed in Pearl Harbor. We went to war, and when 3,000 people were killed when the towers were attacked by those hijacked planes. And, you know, it never ceases to amaze me, the hijackers had box cutters. That's how they hijacked those planes, with box cutters.
Well, I got to tell you, Joel, this story was really just horrible. And what exactly is this infection?
Well, sepsis, of course, means infection of the blood. And there's many, many different bacteria that cause it. And it's like gangrene, for instance, is a kind of a sepsis. And they may have thought she had gangrene, and she could have had just a simple gluten intolerance and had edema of her legs and arms. And instead of having gangrene, they cut them off, and then they take the legs and the arms to the pathology department. They go, "What'd you cut these off for?" "Oh, she had sepsis." "No, misdiagnosis there, boys." And, of course, it's too late to put everything back together. And because the pathologist didn't come in until the next day, and so the arms and the legs were just laying in the refrigerator for 24 hours.
Jeez.
And unfortunately, again, I keep coming back to that figure from Johns Hopkins. Each year, 251,000 Americans are killed in American hospitals from simple mistakes.
Listen to this story, Doc. I have a friend of mine who I got to know him in St. Louis. He ended up moving to Los Angeles and has been there for years. And he was telling me that he had this incredible pain in the bottom of his abdomen and that it was getting worse and worse. And I said, "You know, you got to get to a doctor." He says, "Yeah, I'm going in. This is just too much." So he goes to a doctor, and, you know, they gave him whatever scopes were necessary.
And put the little garden hose
and,
up the
and
the,
it was right before Christmas, and he was coming back to St. Louis for Christmas to be with his parents. And the doctor told him, "Don't worry about it. I'll diagnose you when you get back." So he gets on a plane. He's in horrible pain, comes to St. Louis. I met him here. I was in St. Louis for Christmas with my kids, so I got together with him. He looked horrible. He just looked pasty and just bad. Anyways, he gets back to Los Angeles a couple days after Christmas, and they diagnose him with a ruptured appendix. They rush him in for emergency surgery, and the doctor said, the surgeon doctor, "This was the worst clogged appendix I have ever seen." They ended up taking part of his colon. Horrible.
Yeah, well, again, this is what you're looking at is a sudden, serious, advanced infection in the appendix and the colon where it's attached. And this is all due to a gluten intolerance where the... you have a contact enteritis. The intestines are damaged because of the kind of like rolling around naked in a poison ivy field. You're going to get a dermatitis. Well, this is a contact enteritis. The intestines are all inflamed because we're not supposed to be eating gluten. And they'll surgically remove part of the intestine and the colon. But your friend's problems are not over. They've just begun because the rest of his intestines still look the same. They haven't quite reached that stage where they're rupturing and so forth. And basically, he's got to get gluten-free. Everybody in the household, the dog, the cat, the bird, the fish, have to get gluten-free. Otherwise, in a couple of months, he'll be down with another serious intestinal problem and another rupture someplace. Just like Karen Carpenter. She died of a ruptured colon because she had Crohn's disease. And all she had to do was get gluten-free, no wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and take the 90 cents of nutrients, and Karen Carpenter would still be alive today. And your friend is going to have to do the same thing. Otherwise, death will claim him. And, of course, the odds are he has skin problems. He's got eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis. He may have had a history of asthma as a kid. He probably has high blood pressure, diabetes. He could have things that are nutritional deficiencies because the gluten intolerance damages the entire length of the intestine and reduces the efficiency of absorption significantly. And so it's not unusual that individuals like your friend will have 3, 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 different diseases, all of which are nutritional deficiency diseases, so the intestines are damaged.
Would he have gotten sepsis if he had waited much longer?
Well, he could have died.
Yeah, that's what I
absolutely
thought.
And, of course, one of the first surgeries that people used when they were able to do anesthesia was the appendix operation. Well, again, this is just a gluten problem, an advanced gluten problem. And it's one of those things where they're operating on the sudden, serious side effect of the gluten thing, but they haven't told him, I guarantee they haven't told him to get off of gluten and avoid wheat, bran, or oats.
Nope.
And take the 90
cents
of nutrients. No, they haven't done that because they know he's an ATM machine for him now, for them. The doctor knows that this guy is going to have a problem every couple of months, every couple of years, and so this guy is money in the bank for them as long as they don't tell him how to avoid it. And so as long as he keeps eating pasta and spaghetti and bagels and oatmeal for breakfast and big sandwiches with buns and bread, gravy thickened with flour, meatloaf held together with breadcrumbs, guess what?
Gosh, all the good stuff, Doc.
All the good stuff, yep.
We're with Doc Waller from CriticalHealthNews.com, and I do want to tell you that you're going to hear a lot of things on the program with Doc Wallach tonight. Keep in mind that these are things to help you. We cannot use the word cure. You just can't say that. But I got to tell you, these things do help, and the supplement is so important. And I noticed, Doc, on the back of supplements and vitamins and a lot of the Critical Health News products through Youngevity, you have recommended doses, daily doses, and most of yours are way above the daily limit. Tell me why.
Well, they're not above the daily limit. What they are above is a recommended daily allowance.
Okay,
a big difference, okay?
All right.
And there's a bell-shaped curve when it comes to dosages of everything, okay? Whether it's pharmaceuticals or vitamins and minerals. You have not enough, you get disease, the optimal amount, and then too much, you get a problem. And so what we do is when people come to us and they have high blood pressure, they have diabetes, they have arthritis, they have Crohn's disease or diverticulitis or appendicitis, whatever it might be, we have to use what we call the biggest hammer in the toolbox. Okay, if you're going to make nutrition work, you have to give the body the optimal amount of nutrition in that bell-shaped curve, a therapeutic level that's going to give the body what it needs so it can take these raw materials and mend itself. You cannot pussyfoot around and take the minimum requirements or below that line, otherwise you're not going to see anything. Okay, it's kind of like using 10-pound fishing line to go catch a 5,000-pound dolphin.
Right. Yeah, at what point do people, Doc, have to take their own situation in their own hands and make themselves better?
Well, anything you would consider a pre-existing condition, a chronic thing, they have to take control. Obviously, you get run over by a truck, you're bleeding internally, and your arm is hanging by just the skin because all the bones are broken, got a compound fracture, the bones are sticking through the skin, you got to go to the emergency room. And your prayer on the way to the emergency room that the doctors there are sober, and so they don't make crazy mistakes like they did on that woman, that poor woman in England. Basically, Harvard Medical School came out in 1992 and said 52% of all medical doctors in surgical suites, emergency rooms, are intoxicated during the working day. Alcohol, street drugs, and prescription drugs. So I believe every doctor in every hospital and clinic that comes in for work every morning has to have a breathalyzer test to see if they're intoxicated with alcohol. They need to pee in a cup in front of a nurse so they know it's his pee and he just gave it. And she can use a test strip to see if he has drugs in his blood. If he has drugs in his blood, he has alcohol. Sorry, you can't see patients. Stay out of here. And so we have to have that installed, and I'm working on that piece. And again, we use therapeutic levels of things to make things happen fast because people want fast results. If they're going to wait 6 months, they could die. Things can get seriously worse, and they'll run to a doctor because they say, well, I've been taking these vitamins and minerals for 6 months and nothing's happening. So you have to use therapeutic levels. And there's some of them you can actually use the cure word. You know, we can prevent and cure scurvy with vitamin C. Everybody, even medical doctors, agree to that. You can prevent and cure rickets with vitamin D. You can prevent and cure pernicious anemia with vitamin B12. You can prevent and cure beriberi with vitamin B1. You can prevent and cure pellagra.
Hold on for a second, Doc. We're already at the break. Let's come back. We'll talk more. Doc Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. The number to call for some assistance, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. We'll be back with your phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast with Doc Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com, and looking forward to more information from Doc and your phone calls as well. We'll take calls next hour. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we have returned from Salt Lake City, where we had our first live event of the year, and it just went off without a hitch. I really had a great time there. And our next one is April 21st in Scottsdale, Arizona. Yep, at the Virginia G. Piper Theater. Full information at our events icon at the top of coasttocoastam.com. And then in Las Vegas, June 9th, we'll be there with another live stage show. But in Scottsdale, all kinds of special guests, including spirit traveler Sonia Grace. I'm looking forward to this, Sonia. We're going to have some fun.
Yes, George, so nice. I can't wait to see you and to be there with everyone. I'm looking forward to it.
We have these great live events, Sonia, as you know. And then during my interview with you, we open up the phone calls, basically. People from the audience come up to microphones that we have strategically placed in the theater, and they ask you questions, and it's really interactive. You're going to have a great time.
I can't wait. I really look forward to seeing you, and I look forward to seeing everybody show up to this because it's going to be really exciting. There's some very interesting things that are going to come out, George.
And you will be subjected to my singing. You can't get away.
I can't wait.
When we call you the spirit traveler, what does that mean?
Well, you know, my book, Spirit Traveler, talks about how I'm able to defy time and space and basically time travel back into history and find out what really happened at different sites around the world.
Well, we're going to have fun, and we'll see you in about a month. Sonia Grace will be one of our live guests in Scottsdale, Arizona, and that will be April 21st, and then Las Vegas, Nevada at the Silverton Casino, June 9th. Again, full information on how to get your tickets, to pick out your seats, go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top, it says Events. Click it, and it all opens up. Plus, the second to the last button in our carousel reel on the front page of the coasttocoastam.com website has all the information for you there, too. We will be back in a moment with your calls and Dr. Joel Wallach on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. And again, the toll-free number where they can handle hundreds of calls, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. And, of course, you have the numbers to call to get onto the program. Doc, I've got a lot of emails in, people asking questions. I'm going to go through a couple of those with you. We'll go to calls, and then we'll take more calls next hour. Doc, from Tom in Calabasas, California. He's got a friend that has been suffering dysautonomia, an autoimmune disease, and she has seen numerous doctors. They've provided a variety of medications, none of which have given any long-term improvement. Any idea what she can do?
Okay, well, autonomia, I'm afraid I've never heard of that one. I have heard of autoimmune diseases, of which there are really none. When a doctor doesn't know what you have, he's going to say you have an autoimmune disease, your body's attacking itself, or you have a genetic disease. We can't help you. We can deal with the symptoms, but we can't fix it. And so I need a little more information, but what I would say in general terms for Tom's friend is that she needs to take and get rid of all the bad stuff in her diet. No fried foods, no processed meats, no oils, no glutens, no wheat, barley, and oats. That's usually where the problem lies when people are diagnosed with autoimmune stuff. And this could be skin problems, eczema, dermatitis, psoriasis, rosacea. It could be bowel stuff, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, colitis, ulcerative colitis, that sort of thing. And it could be a respiratory thing. So none of the bad stuff. And then per 100 pounds of body weight, I'd throw in one healthy brain and heart pack per month. And then depending on what else, I'll have to look it up or have somebody look it up for me during a break. I apologize. I'm really out here in the bush. I don't have even a dictionary. But autonomia, it sounds like Nomia's name. I don't know.
Yeah, it's some kind of autoimmune disease, to be sure. Why is it with technology at where it is right now, and it's pretty darn good, do doctors either misdiagnose or not know what's wrong with people?
Mostly, they don't know what's wrong with people. They're taught to make a certain type of diagnosis and to write prescriptions and to do surgery. That's it. I get people who come to me, George, who've been going to doctors for 10, 12, 15, 20 years for autoimmune diseases, genetic diseases, and I'll ask him. I had one the other night in a big crowd in Arizona. I was in Arizona and Phoenix, and I said, did you have appendicitis? He said, yeah, I had appendicitis when I was 12 years old. Did your doctor ever ask you that? No. Okay, well, you have a gluten problem, and you need to get all, I said, you have rosacea on your face. I can see it here. You're in the fourth row. I can see your face is all red. You look like a drunken Irishman. He said, well, I really flare up when I drink beer or whiskey or something like that. That's because they're made out of wheat, barley, and oats. And so, you know, give me 90 days on gluten-free, no wheat, barley, and oats or any of its forms. Get on the 90 essential of nutrients, 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids, the Healthy Start Pack, Healthy Brain and Heart Pack. And let's see what goes on in 30, 60, 90 days. The odds are your problems will go away.
Let's go to the calls now. Giovanna in Button Willow, California is with us. Hi, Giovanna. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, we sure can.
Good evening, gentlemen. I have two questions. The first one is, what causes ascites in chickens, and is it preventable?
Okay, what causes what in chickens?
Ascites or ascites, A-S-C-I-T-E-S.
Oh, ascites. Ascites is actually fluid in the belly cavity. Okay. And this can be caused by low protein diet, where they're just getting lots of grain and no beans in there for protein. And that's kind of where I would look. We actually have a wonderful supplement that you can add to chicken's feed. It's called Arthrodex. And for 50 pounds of chicken, for every... Well, let's go 25 pounds. For every 25 pounds of chickens, it might be 10 chickens or 5 chickens or whatever it might be. You want to give one scoop of the Arthrodex into their feed and have it pre-pelleted and so forth. But make sure they're getting a high-protein, high-fat diet. And the ascites, it's pronounced A-C-I-T-E-S, goes away. It could be a liver problem, but that's where the vitamins and minerals come in. Liver is very active, and if they have a liver problem, they can also get ascites. You see this in human beings with fatty livers and also with liver cirrhosis. Got to treat the liver to get rid of that ascites.
All right, what's your other question, Giovanna?
The second question regards my dad. He's 61 years of age. He's 5'8 and 170 pounds. And he has a muscle that keeps re-knotting in his hip. Where he pointed to me, what I looked up could be the superior familius and the quadratus femoris, but it's right underneath his butt cheek, gluteus maximus.
Yeah, it's quadriceps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it knots up on him,
yeah.
Doc.
We see this in athletes a lot, where they'll get, you know, they'll be running down the field, and they'll fall down, and they'll roll around the ground, and they come out and get them. And they've had a terrible cramp.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is actually mineral deficiencies. And your dad, 170 pounds, really he needs to get rid of all the bad stuff to maximize absorption. No fried foods, no processed meats, no oils or glutens. I would give him 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month. 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month. That's going to maximize the intake of basic nutrients for muscles and bones and cartilage and so forth and liver. I would also throw in 3 tablets of what we call MSM, 3 letters, M for Mary, S for Sam, M for Mary, 3 tablets of MSM twice a day. That's 2 bottles a month. I'd throw in the vitamin D3, 3 of those capsules twice a day, and 15 glucogel capsules, 5 at breakfast, 5 at lunch, 5 at dinner. That's 2 large bottles per month. And then for pain, when that thing happens, now we have a cream. It's called CM cream. He can apply that topically to that muscle. And within 5 minutes or so, we'll give pain relief for 3 to 5 hours. He may have to use it twice a day, but usually after a couple of weeks, a month, You reestablish the mineral absorption because you're getting off of gluten, heal the intestines and maximize absorption. Get him some minerals, and whether he's sweating in the gym or sweating out in the fields lifting bales of hay or working in a shop or just walking around the block, these types of cramps and knotting up of the quadriceps go away.
We're with Doc Walla, criticalhealthnews.com, and I know we're throwing a lot of information your way, so if you miss it, here's a phone number to call for people who will give you some advice, 1-855-949-7234. Just keep that number. You call it anytime you want, 1-855-949-RADIO. It's easy to remember that way. I always like giving out the numbers, though, Doc. It's easier to remember, I think,
because people
have sometimes trouble looking at the phone trying to pick out the number from the letters and stuff like that. Let's go next to Steve in Baltimore, Maryland. Hi, Steven. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've been diagnosed by my optometrist as having the beginning stages of cataracts. I've been taking 8 milligrams of astaxanthin, 50 milligrams of lutein, 10 milligrams of zeaxanthin, the standard 25,000 units of beta-carotene, and like 2,700 milligrams of EPA fish oil. Is there anything you would recommend to stave off cataracts?
Well, you sound like one. You're doing a good job. And I don't know, can you stop cataracts, Doc? What do you think?
In the earliest of stages, well, certainly they're preventable. And in the earliest of stages, when they're first diagnosed and people are seeing sort of twinkles of light and the doctor looks in there and says, well, I don't see a whole lot, but maybe the beginnings of cataracts, it's reversible at that point. There is a stage at which you have cataracts and they're easily seen by the doctor when he looks in your eyes and say, you know, you've got the starts of some serious cataracts here. And at that point, we can oftentimes stop it from progressing, but we can't reverse it. Then there is a point at which you have cataracts and they're just racing forward no matter what you do, and you're going to have surgery. So the earlier you get it, the more positive results you're going to get from a dietary change and a supplement program. But you should do that anyway because there's macular degeneration and there's glaucoma and other things you don't want that oftentimes go along with cataracts. So, again, this is caused by free radical damage.
And, Doc, explain what cataracts are for some people who just don't know what it is.
Sure. Well, cataracts are an opacity of the lens. In other words, a lens which should be clear as your eyeglasses, get clouded over because the proteins, it's like an egg white. When you crack an egg, the egg white is clear. You can read a newspaper through it. But you put a little heat to it, and it turns into a white, opaque egg white. And that's what happens to the protein in the lens of your eye. It becomes opaque and you can't see through it anymore. And so you want to avoid all the inflammatory things which cause that change in the protein. So no fried food, no processed meats with nitrates and nitrites. We're talking deli slices, sandwich meat, sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, salami, jerky, that kind of stuff. Absolutely no oils. Absolutely no oils. They're the worst possible thing for your eyes. Absolutely no olive oil, coconut oil, margarine, mayonnaise, salad dressings, cooking oils. And then no gluten. We want to maximize absorption of the good stuff. So no gluten, no wheat, no barley, rye, and oats. And what do you weigh, Steve?
Let me go back to him for a little bit. Go ahead.
Seven.
How much, Steve?
170 pounds at 5'7".
Okay, 170 pounds. I'd have you take, again, the biggest hammer in our toolbox here, 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month. The brain is the eyes are the brain. And so you have to take 2 healthy brain and heart packs per month, the full dose of everything twice a day. We also have a product we put together to support eye maintenance. It's called Ocutiv, O-C-U-T-I-V. It's a small bottle, 30 capsules in a bottle, so I'd have you take 2 bottles a month. So you can take one at breakfast, one at dinner time. Also, we suggest you take the Vision FX, take 3 of those capsules twice a day. That's 2 bottles a month of the Vision FX. And I want you to get some antioxidants, some serious antioxidants, so I'd recommend 2 things. One is a liquid called Z-radical, Z like zebra dash radical. Take an ounce twice a day, that's 2 quarts per month. And then it's made out of super juices and a material from red marine algae off the coast of Australia called fucoidin. And lastly, we have a tablet. I want you to take 2 of those tablets twice a day. Be 1 bottle a month of the BTT 2.0 tablets. That's different than the crystals, the tablets. And that's going to give you 160,000 auric points per day. Now, I take 500,000 auric points per day.
500,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
I take a lot of stuff because I fly so much. I don't want strokes. I don't want plaque in my arteries. I don't want cancer. I don't want cataracts. And so I take double what I'm suggesting for Steve here, but with the Z radical and four a day, which is two at breakfast, two at dinner, the BTT 2.0 tablets, that's going to give him 160,000 auric points just from the BTT 2.0 tablets, and probably with all the other products he's taken, another 30,000. So we're looking at almost 200,000 auric points per day, and that's going to actually neutralize free radical damage to that lens protein. And so the more he adheres to all this and being obsessive about the diet and avoiding all the inflammatory stuff and being obsessive about taking the supplement program, the more likely he is to get maximum benefit from absorption and also from the antioxidant properties and the things that are necessary to maintain proper eye health.
Doctor, best guess, but what happens to someone who never supplements? And there's some people out there that don't take vitamins, they don't take multiple vitamins, never supplement. What could happen?
Well, they will die early. It'll be a miserable, painful, expensive death. And it might take them weeks to die, it may take them months to die, it may take them years to die. You look at people like Steve Jobs, who died at 56, rich, smart, but he was a vegetarian and didn't supplement. He became a vegan and didn't supplement because he had, you know, he could afford $1,000 a meal. And unfortunately, plants, George, only require three elements from the soil to make good seeds for the next generation. Vertebrates, including human beings, require 60. So if you're not supplementing, you're...
And we're not getting it from food, are we?
No, you're not getting it from... You cannot get it from the food. It's if you just try to get your supplements from your food, your nutrients from your food... It would be putting like putting dirt from Texas in your car. Put 6 quarts of dirt from Texas in your car instead of 6 quarts of oil. See, I'm not going to use the money to spend all that on 6 quarts of oil. For 10 cents a quart, I can get dirt from Texas. I'll put 6 quarts of Texas dirt in my car. There's bound to be some oil in there because that's dirt from Texas. That's just like saying, I'm not going to supplement with selenium. I'll eat 2 Brazil nuts a day. I'm not going to eat calcium or supplement with calcium. I'm just going to eat broccoli every day. Those plants do not need those minerals. They cannot make them. And unless they're in the soil in which they're growing in, they're not going to be in those plants. And so are you prepared to throw away your health and your life and die young and early?
So Lawrence writes, what's the treatment for depression and anxiety? What does he do?
Well, this is a good time for that. A great question. Because, you know, we had this kid, this Nicholas Cruz, shoot up that high school.
Yep.
Yeah, we had the story. Devin Patrick Kelly, who shot up that little church in Texas, and we had Steve Paddock shoot up Vegas.
Yep.
These guys all had the same deficiency, and they all started out with depression. And it's a deficiency of a single mineral. Wonderful studies on this. We've known this for 300 years. This one mineral causes depression, self-destruction, suicidal behavior, domestic violence, and mass murders.
You mean lack of that mineral,
lack
right?
of that mineral. The deficiency of that mineral causes all of these terrible behaviors, and you get several different degrees of it, and that's why you see, and a lot of people will commit suicide because their brain is telling them, I want you to go out and kill 1,000 people. And they love people. They're good religious people, and they just don't want to do it, so they will hang themselves in the closet by their necktie, or they'll jump off a bridge or a roof or shoot themselves in the head to destroy themselves rather than to hurt anybody else. But then there are those who don't have those inhibitions. And coming out within my presentation, I found 52 examples of mass murders over the last 100 years in which they kill 300 people, 190 people, 75 people, 220 people. And they didn't use guns because there were no AK-47s 50 years ago or 75 years ago. Okay, but they had the same deficiencies as these three guys that killed people with guns. They had the same deficiencies, mm-hmm. but they used the weapons that were available to them, which were fire. They used arson. They strangled people. Okay, you know, you remember Jack the Ripper, and then there was the, Green River Killer up in Washington.
Yep.
And those kind of, where they killed 50-something people. And these people all have the same deficiency. It's caused by a deficiency of a very specific nutrient.
I got to ask you the name of the nutrient, even though I know you like the package. Is it selenium?
No, sir. But you're close. It's a mineral, and it's called lithium.
And, all right, lithium orotate.
Yeah, and lithium used to be the treatment of choice for people with these behaviors and depression and manic depression and bipolar disease and PTSD until Prozac came along. And then once doctors got prescription rights to Prozac, they dumped the lithium because, you know, people could go to a health spa and sit in the hot water and drink a little bit of the hot springs water.
Hold on, Doc. Let's come back and talk more about that, and then you can give us specifics on what you think the emailer should do. And then we're going to take final calls next on Coast to Coast AM.